All right, welcome back. Welcome back. All right. So I heard that when the fire alarm goes off in Ireland, it's time for a double offering. So ushers, if we can have you guys come on up. Just kidding. Oh, man. I always tell my students it's always an adventure. You never know what's going to happen. And we've had multiple adventures on this trip so far, and this is just one more amazing adventure that we're experiencing. So I believe when distractions happen, it means God's going to do something incredible. And the enemy's trying to destroy something. And so I'm going to just jump right into it. Pastor Noel asked me to speak on kind of in the theme called Born in the USA. And that helps because I was. And so one of the things that I really wanted to talk about was there was an amazing movement that happened in America way back in the 1900s called the Azusa Street Revival. And I just have been pressed on my heart to kind of talk about it. And the most important thing is the Azusa Street, and we believe it, and I know you're going to believe it, is that it's not a historical event that we can look to and say, oh, cool, that was awesome, that was amazing to look at. But it's a monumental moment that we can look to and say, if God can do it then, God can do it now. And so I want to just kind of spark something in you guys to just encourage you, because I'm here to encourage, I'm here to love, I'm here to uplift, because in a couple days we're going back home, but this is your home. And I want to leave a word in you that I believe is from the Lord just to keep pressing on, because this is your community, this is your family, the body of Christ, the new believers that received Jesus yesterday, they are your family, they are your brothers and sisters, and they're just not a part of our smaller C church, but they're a part of the big church. And if there's one thing that really impacted me this week is that the big church is alive. The church in general is thriving, and we are going to make an impact, and the devil better be scared, because we are going to kick the door open and we're going to let him know where he is, and that is under our feet. Can I hear amen from the church? And so my main passage for you today is in is it 1 Corinthians? I'm trying to get it correctly. Is that how you say it? We say 1 Corinthians, but how do you guys, is it 1 Corinthians? Corinthians 1? I don't know. But 1 Corinthians 3, and then I'm going to be getting there and eventually, but I want to remind the roots of where when the Holy Spirit came in the book of Acts, and I just want to, read that verse real quick before jumping into it, and it all started with a group that was just worshiping God. That's when the Holy Spirit came, is the group of Jesus' disciples who didn't look at Jesus' death and resurrection and say, okay, that's the culmination, that's the top part of our faith, but we're going to move on. God's called us to build his church. And so they were praying, and then they had heard about the way of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't know when it was going to happen. And all of a sudden, the wave just hit. And they weren't anticipating it. They weren't expecting it. They weren't systemizing it. And they were just being obedient. And so it says in Acts and 4, chapter 2, verse 4, and it said, you know, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues and as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I want to encourage some of us this morning that it said, and they were all filled, not the good ones, not the ones who gave the most in an offering, but all were filled. God wants to put his Spirit in all of us so that we can build the church and unify the entire world. And I love that it's not just an American thing coming in here now. It's not just an Irish thing, but it's the world. And God is the king of the world. And there's only a certain amount of time before the devil's dominion over this world is gonna be available to him. And have you ever experienced something where you know you're going to lose? It's when I have arguments with my wife. I know I'm going to lose because she's always right. And I just keep swinging, and it's a losing battle. And that's what it is with the devil. He knows he's going to lose because God's not going to win. He's already won. It's past tense. It's present tense, and it's going to be future tense. And so this is the encouragement that we get this morning, is a reminder that the God that we serve is alive, The God that we serve is victorious, and the God that we serve is going to conquer, and we get to be with him forever. And so I just want to give kind of a fun acronym as we're talking about being born in the USA, talking about Azusa Pacific. Words are hard for me sometimes. It's very similar, right? The first wave of the baptism of the Holy Spirit happened with a group of disciples. In Azusa, it happened with six people just having a Bible study and being hungry after God. And because they were hungry after God and then hungry after their community, God gave a wave that eventually there were up to 1,300 people at a time just worshiping and desiring more and seeking after him. And I just look at that and say, why does it have to be something that only happens in the 1900s? Why can't it happen right now in 2016? Why can't that happen in our community in America? Why can't that happen here in Dublin? Why does it have to be these historical moments, but why can't it happen now? Literally now. And I believe so much, and I hope you all believe with me, that if we desired it long enough, and if God so happened to do it, revival could happen right now. And I cannot wait for the moment that God outpours his Spirit so much that we have a moment like when a shadow touches a person, they get filled. Or when we see something from the corner and we talk authority to it, it happens. Because we have a power that the Bible says is even greater than the things that Jesus has done. And I think sometimes we look at ourselves not as greater because of what Jesus has done in us and through us. And so if anything, be encouraged that there is something in you that is even greater that raised Jesus from the dead. And so don't be timid, be bold. Don't be afraid, be fearless. Because we all know God is not a God of fear. And when we're fearful, we're allowing the devil to win. And he hasn't won. And so you'd be bold, you'd be fearless, and because then you will be victorious. And so I want to talk to you again about that acronym. It's the USA. And so real quick, I really feel like the Holy Spirit is birthed out of us when we are unashamed. When we are unashamed of the gospel and when we are unashamed of Jesus, this gives us the immediate platform of looking different to people because we are bold and we are confident. You know, I would say it differently in America, but what is our favorite football team, right? How many United fans do we have here in the building? Or how many Chelsea fans do we have here in the building? Or how many, I don't know any other football teams than those. And so, but if you notice when the Euro match was happening, people go crazy over their teams. They do ridiculous things for their teams. Some of them don't wear shirts and paint stuff all over their bodies for their teams. But yet sometimes when it comes to our faith, we hide and we get timid and we neglect what God has done in us and through us. And if we can shed tears for a professional team that we won't remember who won 13 years later, why should we not be the same way to a God who has already given us new life and has birthed something inside of us and has given us a passion and is, again, victorious? I can't say that enough. It's just a reminder of what he's done for us and in us. And so I look at this and I'm just saying, if grown men can cry over a trophy, we need to be crying over our communities. And as Pastor Noel said, we need to be weeping for those that don't know Jesus. Because in America, we look at people who don't know Jesus and we just are kind of like, well, at least they're going to church or at least they're doing this. But they're going to hell. And I think sometimes we don't get the gravity of the fact that they will no longer have access to Jesus. And that should increase our desire for people to know the love and the saving grace of Jesus. Because all of us have a story. Every single one of you have a before Jesus and after Jesus story. And that is what he wants to use. He wants to use you as the church to bring the light into where there is darkness. Because even if it is a small light, light overcomes darkness. And so we need to remember our story. And I love what Paul says in Romans 1. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, again, for everyone who believes, for the Jews for the first and also for the Greeks." And so I just love, again, that it's everyone. It never is you're not good enough. It's everyone. And so for you, it's unashamed. For us, it's saturated. And I think about that. And have you ever been around someone who, at first when you meet them, you're kind of like, you're not like normal, or you're kind of do some quirky things, or you don't talk the way I talk. But then when you are around them enough times, you realize that you begin to start acting like them. You begin to start talking like them. One of the things for us, obviously, we come here on this trip and we're very American and we talk the way we talk. But I was starting to notice that I was getting this Irish kind of fake accent that just was kind of coming naturally. One of the funnier examples is yesterday I was talking about my family to a volunteer and I said the phrase "me ma." And I was like, and she started laughing at me and I was like, where did that come from? It just like came out so normal. And the first couple days, I was telling people my age, which is 30, but they kind of looked at me and like, again, with deers in the headlights, like, I don't understand what you're saying. And so I kept having to bait 30, and they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. And so all of these like ways that as talked is starting to come like naturally. So now when I go back to America, they're going to look at me like the weird person. And I'll say, listen, you just be in Ireland once and you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's so much better. And so it's just so funny. Or when you first start dating someone, right? You are infatuated with their scent, right? You are infatuated with just being around them. And in that same way, and I love that Gabby and I are using that same verse, but it just talks about the fragrance of Jesus. And when we are so saturated with the love of Jesus, it just needs to just seep out of us. So when we go to an area like the Flats, when they see us and they see smiles only, they just are infatuated with why we can smile when they've experienced life they are. And it's because of opportunities where we get then share the gospel of Jesus to them. Because I don't know all your stories. I've only heard some of your stories. And some of them, I would look at it and we would just be jaw to the floor of where you were before Jesus. And because you were saturated in the love of Christ and through his through him dying on the cross, you now get to be here and you are completely made new. I love that Jesus doesn't repair you. He makes you new, right? It's not a bandage and hope that you have a scar. He takes death and brings it to life. When you saturate yourself, that is what happens. And in 2 Corinthians 2, it says this, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." And so like Gabby said earlier, what kind of scent are you smelling? I'll say this. I've already learned a little bit, and the teenagers back in America are starting to be like this too. They can smell fake very quickly. And one of our missions at River Valley Church is where we are is to lead people into an authentic, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And the authentic is the most important because people are going to be able to smell fake. People are going to be able to smell agenda, and people are going to be able to see whether you're real or not. And from what I've noticed, the Irish can smell fake way better than anyone else can. And so it's not always going to be a one-hit wonder in a mass rally where thousands of people come to know the Lord. We pray that that happens, but it's through constant obedience and constant relationship that the love of Jesus is going to show in you and through you. And I believe then the masses will come because you have poured out yourself and let Jesus pour into you and overflow into the communities. And so we need to be saturated in that. And the last thing is A, available. Because I feel like in America, for most of the parts of the world, if we are only available to things that we deem important. especially if, like in the life that I am, if I think something is very important, I will make any amount of time available to that thing. And one of the things for my examples is my wife, Jessica, here, she's in the front. We've been married for almost 5 years now, and we have 2 kids already. You know the plan. It was supposed to be wait 3 to 5 years and then have a kid, and not even 1 year in, we're pregnant, and, you know, God told me to be fruitful and multiply, so I just obey the word every day. And if I want my relationship with my family to increase, I got to make time available to them. We're very by the schedule, and if I don't make time for my kids are going to only know me as the dad who was a part of the church. And my heart for my kids is that, one, they love Jesus wholeheartedly, and two, they love the church, and they don't resent the church because it took dad away. And so I make time available to them. I make time available to my wife because, again, one of the things that we are making very valuable at our church is family light. And it's like family sends you, family prays for you, and family is making sure that when you are off serving Jesus or on something, it's not a worry of home. It's knowing that your home is for you and not against you. And I think it's amazing too, even more, I like bragging on my wife, is that she has the gift of intercessory prayer. And so she, whether she's with me or whether she's at home, she's with me in spirit. She's praying for me in spirit. And she's like an amazing sniper that just, if something happens, she just picks them off one by one. And it's just amazing to see and have that protection and know that when I leave, I'm being sent, and it's not a you have to go anymore. Because then I believe I can be more effective for the kingdom, and as a whole, it's our ministry and not my ministry. And I think too many people, especially again in America, it's their ministry and the family's an add-on. When it's a family ministry, that through our ministry, we were raising the kingdom. And so we need to make things available. And so when was the last time that you truly made yourself available to God? In your devotions or in your outreaches, when have you made time to be available, or are we too busy getting to the next thing? I was pretty convicted back in America a while ago. I love music. Honestly, I love Irish music the most. My wife can attest. I just listen to it all the time because once I went 12 years ago, I was just like hooked. And so I listen to music all the time. And I got convicted that I have my earbuds in too much and if I have my earbuds in too much, even if I'm not playing music, like people won't talk to me. Sometimes I use it to my advantage. But I'll have my earbuds in and I really felt like the Lord was like, you have it in too much and you're not available to hear my voice and make yourself available to tell people about me. And so now it's still a challenge for me, but I'm trying, when I'm in public areas, I'm trying to make sure that I keep myself available, that if God pours something in me, that I don't just keep it to me, but I pour it out. And I think and I've just kind of started to have this realization that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, they're not for us. We already have the Holy Spirit. We already have salvation inside of us. But the gifts are for those people that need Jesus the most. And our lead youth pastor, Pastor Terry Parkman, he said this one thing. He goes, when you want the gifts, you need to think of the people that do not have Jesus the most. The ones that you would see are too far away from Jesus. And if you didn't have these gifts, they would never hear about the love and saving grace of Jesus. Because it's not about you. It's about the people who don't know. It's about the sons and daughters of the King who don't know their dad yet. And we need to be so desperate for our brothers and sisters who don't know their father so that they can get that moment, like we read in scriptures, where they see their dad at the end of the road and the dad is just arms open, runs to the son and embraces him, because that's what he wants. He wants to embrace his son. He wants to embrace his daughter, who have never experienced a love of a father like they ever had before. And so I just want to encourage you guys with that, that we need to make sure that we are unashamed. We need to make sure that we're saturated in the love of Jesus so we can be a blessing. And we need to make sure that we are available so that we can pour out. And then finally, I'm just thinking about this, and I just realized I never got into my main passage of scripture. There it is. But I just wanted to read this big kind of larger chunk of scripture, because one of the things that as I was getting this message produced, God really just like put a kind of a thought in me. He says, listen, you're American. You are a USA person. You're going to speak to Irish people. And if there's one thing that I've learned the most is that the Irish have pride of being Irish. And there's a sense of pride that we can never have in America. Because when you ask an American, who are you? They give you, I'm a Minnesotan. They give you, I'm Norwegian. They give you, I'm this. I give you, I'm that. You ask anyone, they'll say, I'm Irish. And there's a sense of pride in that. And so God's like, you need to put the pride of the holiness into them with their pride of their country. And so I want to read this this verse for you, just in kind of preparation for the last. And if you're on the worship team, I apologize I didn't tell you this earlier, but can I have you guys come up on stage? Because we're going to go back. I want to give you an opportunity to receive. Because again, when we receive, it's not for us to hold on to, but it's for us to receive and pour out. And so I want to be available so that God can do that. And I just want to read this verse. So it's in 1 Corinthians 3. It says this, starting in verse 1, it says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, and you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. And I think to those people who just received salvation yesterday, they are now infants. And what are we going to do to our infants? Are we going to let them starve? Or are we going to help develop them? Are we going to help grow them? Are we going to help them get ready for the next developmental food intake of the spiritual? You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarrel among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, you are not merely human beings. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord had assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters does anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and it's they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. And then in 16 it says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells inside your midst? I think back to what Pastor Noel just said about how we came and we loved. We are an Apollos. We plant. That's all we've done. You guys may be an Apoll version. You are watering. You are there every single day. You are a part of this community. And if there's one thing that I know that I've heard so many negative stories of people coming into a mission field thinking they know what they're doing, making actually a disconnection between mission field and church. And so for me, that's I never want to be a part of a trip where that happens. I always want to invest into a local church. I always want to honor a local church, because we are not American church. We're not Irish church. We're the church. And we are the church of Jesus. And our mission is that people come to know the life-saving relationship and grace of Jesus. And that is what we're here for. That is what we're making an impact for. And so as we are Americans, we make things happen. But it is you guys, it is the community of Jesus here in Ireland that is going to help develop them, help make them grow, help disciple them. And so I want to put some pride back into what it is. So what does this mean for you guys? And what does this mean for us as a church? One, it means you need to ignite the fire and the passion that Jesus once gave you. You need to reignite. So that is the I. You need to ignite what God is doing in this church, in these communities, and you need to allow him to move and not you move So we need to step aside for that. You need to reject the lies that the devil has put inside the minds of people who do not know them, that they are worthless, that they are meaningless, that they are a drug addict who are of no resolve, that they're just a drunk. They need to reject those lies, and you need to bring the authority and the love of Jesus that can only do that. And finally, we need to elevate the light of Jesus in this city. So bring the pride back into this place, because Jesus will do what he does to obedient people. You look at the Hall of Fame in Hebrews, and it's just simple people being obedient and then God doing miracles through them. And so can we stand this morning? I just want to give opportunities. Can the prayer teams come forward? If any of this just impacted you and encouraged you and challenged you, my heart and my hope is that you don't just leave it here at the chair, but you ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to work inside of you. You ask if there's a sin that's in your way, that you resolve this. If there's a thing that you've been struggling with, if there's a physical thing that needs to be taken away, if you need healing, I want to ask you, please take this opportunity and step out in boldness. Because if we say that we serve a God who can do miracles, if we say that we serve a God who loves us unconditionally, the Bible says, if our Father gives us good gifts, how much more could our Heavenly Father give us? And so this is a moment where your Heavenly Father wants to give you so much more. And so we don't want to get in the way of that. And so I'm going to pray kind of a closing prayer. And once I pray, if you want to come forward, if you want to receive salvation in Jesus, if you want to pray for healing, if you want to pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you, come forward to this prayer teams, because that's why we're here. It's not just to do church, but it's to be the church. And so we want to take that opportunity. So Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing at Liberty Church all across the three locations, but specifically here. God, I pray that there is an increase of faith that can only come from you. God, I pray that as we look to ourselves, God, that you will pour us out so we can have more room for your Spirit to be filled up, so we can be an outpouring of you. God, you didn't just do a historical moment that we can look back to, but God, you are doing something right now here in Dublin. You are doing something right now in each and every one of these people that are here today. And I pray right now that as we step out in obedience, God, that you will see our obedience and you will increase us. God, you will increase more of the gifts. God, that you will increase more of an influence into our communities. For those communities that are, the doors are shut, God, I pray that you open those doors so that we can be an impact. The years that have taken, God, this is the year of reaping. God, this is the year where your Spirit is overflowing in these flats and these communities. God, this is the year where we see the multitude come. And so, God, I pray that we prepare our hearts for when that increase comes, because we want to be good stewards of your people. We want to be good stewards of the word. We want to be good stewards of ourselves. So help us make your church look beautiful, and help us to make your church look like the community that they want to be a part of, so that if they're in temptation, God, if they're in sin, God, they come into this place and they don't feel condemnation, but they feel conviction that leads to salvation, and they are transformed only because of you and not because of us. So we thank you for what you're going to do. Every single day today, we know that you are victorious, and we celebrate the fact that you are victorious, that you won, that you took death, hell, and the grave, and you took the keys, that you brought life back to these places. And I pray that as this dry bone area, God, you bring life back into it, that you pour your Spirit over these people, God, that you bless Pastor Noel, that you give him new vision, that you give him new dreams, God, that you flood a wave into this community and this congregation, that we can't look to nothing but you and know that this is only you. And so, God, I pray against any sort of division in this church, God, that this is a unified church that stands for the word, that stands for Jesus, and that we are an outpouring of your Spirit. So we thank you for what you're going to do in this community. We thank you for what you're going to do in each and every one of our lives, and we celebrate what you're going to do. And everybody said, amen.